You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
Go. It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do fear? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era. Happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places.
Oh man, welcome on Indie Guys. Welcome on in guys to Dynasty Happy Hour. Yes, we are here for yet another episode with you guys. I'm Chase. You guys can find me at FF_intervention, and I am joined by, of course, Taylor. What's going on, Taylor? How you doing tonight?
I am doing great. And yourself, Chase?
Not bad. This game, this whole entire like slate for Sundays drove me absolutely nuts, but hey, we figured it out. And you know, it made its way through. You know, there was definitely a couple questionable calls that happened throughout this entire Sunday slate when it came to who you should play, who you should not play. But yeah, before we get started, do you want to let everybody know where to find you?
Find me on Twitter at _TaylorCornell. TaylorCornell. Also working with my friend FF_intervention here. Yeah, that's Chase. Working with Chase on some fun stuff. So over at joinourcircle_, we are putting out some cool video content. I'll be working on some written content here soon for the new website. So Chase is better plugging all that stuff than me. But that's where generally most of my work is going to be found.
Now, we got a bunch of stuff going on over there, so we are very, very excited. But yet we still have Dynasty Happy Hour and our Sunday slate breakdown to go through. So guess what, guys? That's what we're going to do. Now, make sure you guys go check out Top Loaders, all right? The Top Loaders, or I think it's on Twitter, TopLoaders_. Pretty sure that's it. But no, Top Loaders over there, they do these card breaks, and I have won some significant cards from these breaks. It's been a lot of fun. If you guys go check out the Top Loaders over there on Twitter, you will not be let down. Come join a break with me. We absolutely smash faces over there. I have a Tua and Burrow signed autograph card out of 15. Absolutely love it. And you actually are going to wear a Burrow jersey, aren't you?
Backwards. I told you in honor of Joe Burrow after the injury last week, I would wear a backwards jersey to represent the name, because it's about the name, not the team.
No, I... Oh, man, you guys had a rough outing. We might as well start with that one, right? You know, a game that probably nobody wants to hear about. No. You know, the Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals over there. It was a little bit of a weird one. You know, Higgins got in the end zone. Gallman... Yeah. You know, we expected Gallman to produce. You know, it was a little bit of back and forth, but I think the biggest takeaway was, you know, what happened to, of course, Daniel Jones. Did we ever see an update from that?
I didn't see an update. I thought it was kind of funny. The first the first time he grabbed, it looked like he was grabbing his butt cheek. Then he started grabbing a little bit lower towards the hamstrings. I don't know if it's like technically a glute or technically a hamstring, but I mean, when he tried to come back out there and he couldn't even, you know, drive off of that leg, it was, I don't know. It makes me wonder whether he's going to be missing more than a week. But again, I'm not a professional athlete, so it might take me weeks to heal from that. It might take him a few days.
Yeah, and Colt McCoy is not going to be the answer over there. So, of course, Wayne Gallman is somebody that you want to roster if he's not already rostered, but he probably most likely is at this point, because I don't know if that passing game is going to be, you know, valid at all. I don't know if you can start any of those guys with Colt McCoy at start, you know, starting quarterback over there. So that's something to take away from that game. On the other side of things, Higgins, you know, he produced okay. What did he have, like, you know, 50 or so yards and a touchdown, I believe. So that's not something where you get all excited about, but at least he's not, you know, completely just, you know, in the trash because of Joe Burrow going out. So that was one of the first things. The second thing that, like, I just saw from this overall slate, right, was how bad some of these quarterbacks were this week. I mean, it was absolutely insane. Looking across this slate, I mean, I'm looking at right now, Kirk Cousins was the highest scoring quarterback. Is that right?
I think so, because I benched him last minute. So that sounds about right. But yeah, you had even got, I mean, it was kind of a crappy week anyways, because of all the, you know, there's all the COVID stuff going on, but then, you know, injuries like Garoppolo, for example. So you've already got Nick Mullins in there, who is potentially a downgrade from Garoppolo. So it's already kind of ugly at the position sometimes. And then you had guys that we would have expected, like Herbert, to have a good game. He didn't. Derek Carr was in a smash spot. He wet the bed. So there was just a lot of, like you said, bad quarterback play this afternoon.
Yeah, we did. Sorry about that. We did have Patrick Mahomes beat him out, obviously, and then Deshaun Watson from Thursday. But outside of that, Kirk Cousins was the highest scoring quarterback. Tom Brady, who had an ugly game, only scored 23. I mean, outside of that, there was only four quarterbacks that got north of 20 points this week. And, you know, if you guys do go check out Fantasy Intervention, we talked about how low of a scoring, you know, week this was going to be overall, and how there weren't going to be very many valid options out there, and how we were actually fading like the Bills and the Chargers game because those defenses were stepping it up huge. So, you know, this is something as to where, hey, if your quarterback didn't produce, you're not in the worst situation ever. But, you know, sometimes at this point in the year, we want to follow some of these matchups like Kirk Cousins had up against Carolina, you know. So let's go ahead and talk about the one of the highest scoring games on the slate, at least, which was the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fun game, I guess, if you're into the fantasy side of things, because you had so much scoring there, which was contrary to some of these games that were pretty boring. AJ Brown produced again, but my biggest takeaway from this game actually was, Derrick Henry, I thought, usually waited till December to enter his beast mode, but he got a little bit of a head start this year, a couple days ahead of schedule, and he went off. But the second takeaway for me was Jonnu Smith, and I am trying to figure out how concerned we are with him. You know, he's had zero targets today. He's had fewer than two targets in three or four games this year, I think. Less than double digit points in all but a couple of games. So, you know, somehow looking at the end of season stats, he still will probably be a tight end one, but that doesn't say a whole lot. But I was kind of interested because I actually thought coming into this year, he was going to be a lot more involved. And it really does seem like, again, it's just pretty much the AJ Brown show. And there's some weeks where Corey Davis compliments.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we had a pregame show right over there. And the real Adam H, or the real Adam underscore H over there on Twitter, man, he breaks down all sorts of injuries and everything. He's like, dude, the way that defense is torn up over there on Indy with COVID and everything going on, he's like, I would expect a blowout over there. And I want every piece to do with that Tennessee Titans offense. Now, obviously, AJ Brown went off. Corey Davis, I believe, had an overall solid week from what I remember. And then Derrick Henry just smashed faces. You know, unfortunately, Jonnu Smith was not in that group. So that's something that we definitely want to check out and monitor. I want to monitor the snap counts. I want to monitor the, you know, routes run. And I want to monitor, you know, those targets and where he was targeted on the field, if he was at all. So.
Yeah, and it also didn't help. I mean, this was a game because Derrick Henry's so dominant. Tannehill only attempted 22 passes. So, again, it wasn't like he had a 50 attempt game and Johnny didn't get anything. There's only 22 passes around there. So, but still a little surprising to see the bagel come up at week 12 here for Smith.
Well, there's somebody out there, right? You know, we've talked about how certain people let you down and certain people just smash faces. And there was somebody that was being picked up late last night on waivers after some news broke. And this guy probably won you weeks, right? Because everybody's talking about him. He's a wide receiver, but he can play quarterback. And if you put him in as a wide receiver this week, he's going to smash. He's going to get you at least 10 or 15 points, right? Because he's playing quarterback, right? Right? You know what I'm talking about?
Gosh, is that I don't know. I
got Kendall nobody. Hinton.
Oh, I was thinking maybe right? Taysom Hill. I don't know. I was confused. Yes. No, yes.
Kendall Hinton, right? This guy's a wide receiver, but he was playing quarterback this week. He was going to smash everybody.
Well, for a hot second, it was Royce Freeman at quarterback, and I got all excited for my Royce Freeman shares. And you saw today, they might have been better off with Freeman at quarterback.
Dude, they probably were, because guess what? Guess what? It was absolutely brutal. Oh, Hinton went out there and put up negative 0.8 fantasy points, at least in the league that I'm looking at. I'm sorry, negative 0.8 fantasy points. It was absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm. So Scott it's Fishbowl, just, I'm sure, is negative 40 points or something for him.
Oh, God, man, that's hilarious. That yeah, is
one out of nine, 13 yards, two picks. That's rough. Noah Fant got the one catch for the Denver Broncos today. The
one catch. That's so bad, man. Yeah, no, it's something where these gimmick guys, they don't always perform at a high-end level. You know, we had Taysom Hill, of course. We've had a sample size. You're not going to take a practice squad guy. I don't care what position he's playing. I don't care if he's going to play as a tight end, right? Like, you just don't put him in there, right? Or if he was registered as a tight end. You know, you just don't put him in there. Like, that's a joke. They were talking about, I don't know if you saw this or not, but last night they were actually trying to get the NFL to allow one of their coaches to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. They're like, wasn't their offensive coordinator, but it was like their
quality control.
Yeah. Quality control. Yeah. Yeah. Which if you're all you should know, need to know about.
If you're like sitting there trying to get your coach to be the starting quarterback over, you know, your wide receiver, that's absolutely just, I mean, over, you know, practice squad guy, that tells you enough. So,
yeah.
You know, this is something as to where I was staying far, far away from Hinton. And, you know, it showed as to why.
Hey, I didn't watch the game. I wouldn't have desired to watch the game much outside of the gimmicky stuff. But it's kind of interesting. Again, this is just box score scouting or whatever you want to call it. But Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay were pretty inefficient today. Royce Freeman, 8 for 50. I'll take it, you know? Of course, Melvin Gordon's been inefficient all year, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised. I'm sure they were stacking the box, but
yeah, and I mean 8 for 50 up against one of the best run defenses in the league. I'll take it any day. Take that. I'll roll with it. Let's go. All right, so let's go ahead and let's bounce over to like the running backs that might have impressed. Unless you want to spend some time talking about Josh Allen and how disappointing that was for him and Herbert.
No, I was hoping that would be more of a more fireworks in that game. Somehow Herbert still finished over 300 yards, but I think it took him 50 plus attempts to get there. It wasn't pretty for either one of them. I know Josh Allen had the scare with his ankle, I believe.
That looks so bad, like during the play.
Came back in though, right? So I think he's all good to go, at least for, you know, probably not missing any time. I don't know if it impacted his play down the stretch.
Honestly, both these defenses are stepping it up. They're kind of, you know, replicating what they did back in 2019. They're getting back to their form. So that's not somebody I wanted to touch in either one of these games. But, you know, or at least I should say it's not somebody that I wanted to play, you know, over the top. At least you didn't get killed playing them this week.
Mm-hmm. No, right. I think Herbert only had the one turnover, I believe. Yeah, Josh Allen didn't get a rushing touchdown this week, did he?
Yes, he did. He was supposed to throw it to Diggs, and I guess Diggs, the touchdown got called off. So he had a 3-yard touchdown run, which kind of killed me in my DFS lineups for Stephon Diggs.
Well, I think like with Josh Allen, we know this now, this isn't a secret, but having that rushing floor that he provides is so helpful, because on a day where he only throws for 157 yards, he's got 30 yards rushing and a touchdown. And we talked earlier about the bad quarterback play. Meanwhile, you've got Kyler Murray, who has had that rushing floor all season as well, hadn't had less than 5 rushing attempts in any game. You know, I think 31 yards was his lowest rushing output for the year, and today didn't attempt to run at all. That might be due to I think he's dealing with a shoulder injury type of thing, might be trying to protect him. But you saw when you kind of erase that rushing floor from some of these guys how low that floor can go for their fantasy production. So as long as Josh Allen's ankle doesn't prevent him from running the ball, I think you're still going to be plugging him in and playing him every week.
Yeah, now, you know, onto the running back situation. It's not often where we see two running backs from the same game go off that are on opposite teams, because normally when you're running the ball a lot, you know, you're sitting there and you're grinding out clock. We saw that today with the Saints and the Denver Broncos. They were done before 7 o'clock. That's absolutely insane. Their game was finished at like 6:45 tonight. So when I look back at it and I'm looking at the, you know, the fantasy points over here, I'm looking at James Robinson, right? Mm-hmm. 22 rushes, 128 yards, a touchdown. What is it? 5 for 6 on his receiving side of things. Meanwhile, Nick Chubb, 19 rushes, 144 yards and a touchdown. You know, there's a lot of rushing in this game. And James Robinson finished, you know, 7 points behind one of the best running backs that, you know, will ever walk the face of this earth when we talk about Antonio Gibson, you know, and, you know, he only finished 0.3 points above Nick Chubb. So, you know, with James Robinson, man, like going forward, is James Robinson a top 5 dynasty running back? Is he a top 10 dynasty running back? Where are we putting him?
Yeah, I can't put him top 5. And that's my hang up with draft capital, which I know at some point, once you get the NFL production, that should kind of fall by the wayside a little bit. But my concern is they're going to be more likely to bring in competition and potentially replace somebody that they didn't sink any capital into. Less likely to do that with a first or second round guy. They've got a little bit of a longer leash. So for this year, no concerns. Going forward, I'm a little concerned, or I guess hesitant. I don't know how you could keep him out of the top 10. Now, off the top of my head, I haven't gone through my dynasty rankings the last month or so to update him. But he is taking the lion's share of their running back opportunities. All of the targets out of the running back, or out of the backfield, excuse me. All of the carries out of the backfield. Chenault gets one or two here or there. Imagine if he stays as the starter and they've got Justin Fields there next year. That is going to open things up even more. He's been negative game scripts every single week. I think since week one, and he's still getting 20 plus carries, 100 plus yards. We've seen his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. 5 more catches again today. I don't know how long you could keep him down just based solely on the fact that he was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, they have so many holes over there in Jacksonville that they have to fill. Like, dude, you need so many other positions. You can't just expect to plug James Robinson, you know, or plug a running back in there in the early, what, second, third, even fourth round. I think that's James Robinson's job for at least another couple of years here. And like you said, Justin Fields, plug him in, all of a sudden you open up the RPO. Now, that does limit his upside when it comes to catching the ball in the backfield, you know, which scares me a little bit. But I have him as a, you know, probably right around running back 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 in Dynasty right now. I have to redo my rankings after this crazy week, you know, hit. So, yeah, that's going to be very, very interesting where people line up. Now, Derrick Henry smash faces, right? You know, were you surprised at all? Like, were you shocked that Derrick Henry did what he did?
No, I mean, I know for the season, Indianapolis has been a tough defense, but they were missing a few defensive starters that I think a lot of sharp people were kind of circling that as a, hey, you know, this isn't the Indianapolis defense that's been so sturdy all year long. This is going to look a little bit different. I wouldn't say I would have predicted today's type of game for him, but not shocked they had a great game. And I know we were just talking the Jacksonville-Cleveland game, but Chubb is kind of quietly, at least maybe to me, it just seems quietly, had 3 straight games over 100 yards. I think he's had one game, the game he left early when he was injured, he didn't have 100 yards. In the first game, I think he had 60 yards rushing. He's had 4 out of 6 games, I think, this year he's played in. He's had 100 yard rushing. And it's interesting that he's not really getting many targets, a few here and there. But without that even receiving upside, it doesn't matter because he's getting 18, 19, 20 carries a game, and he's so freaking good that that's going to be 100 yards, and he's probably going to get a touchdown more often than not. And I don't think Cleveland trusts Baker to ever say, like, hey, we're going to air it out 50 times today. Nope, they're going to keep the ball on the ground. They're going to let their defense play. I think Chubb's going to win some people their leagues later this year in the next few weeks as the playoffs come up. I haven't looked at his schedule, but honestly, I don't think I really care what his schedule is because you know he's going to get the touches regardless.
His schedule's sick. Tennessee, Baltimore has been okay. New York Giants, New York Jets. Like, it's stupid easy. You know, Nick Chubb's going to be part of this organization, I think, for a while. Regardless of what they sign Kareem Hunt to, this is what they want. This is what they're doing. And by the way, he's only seen above 50% snaps for 3 out of his 6 weeks that he's played a full, you know, full game. And I don't think he's seen over like 65% of snaps in a game. So he's doing all this playing half a game. So he's very good. Now, Latavius Murray outscored Alvin Kamara. So in your dynasty rankings, how much higher do you have Latavius Murray over, over Alvin Kamara?
It's close. Right now they're neck and neck. They are neck and neck after this week. I have adjusted accordingly already. But it's just a, I don't know, it just goes to show how much of a change at quarterback can just wreck an entire offense, or at least what we expect typically to see from an offense. We know what a Drew Brees offense looks like. We know it's a lot of Alvin Kamara out of the backfield catching the ball. In the last few weeks, how many did Kamara not have a catch last week? I don't think he did.
Yeah, it was his first time in NFL history, I believe.
In his history ever, that he didn't have a catch. Yeah, and then this week it was Latavius Murray really dominating the carries out of the backfield, at least. Yeah, I think it's just a case of Taysom Hill's at quarterback. Today's game was weird too, because you knew they were going to dominate the quarterbackless Denver Broncos. So you kind of could see the writing on the wall that it might be a run heavy game. And for some reason they Latavius Murray is fine. Don't get me wrong, but like they trust, it seems like they use him so much more when it comes to obvious running situations than Kamara, even though Kamara is also very good running the ball as well. So I don't know. I just weather that storm and wait till Drew Brees comes back. And I think everything will go back to what we expect going forward.
All right, let's go ahead and hop over to the wide receiver side of things, because there were quite a few wide receivers that impressed me, namely Deebo Samuel, who had 24.4 fantasy points, had 11 receptions on 13 targets. I mean, up against the Rams, you don't see that happen very often. So is Deebo Samuel going to sneak into what the top 15 wide receivers in Dynasty for you?
I don't know, not for me. I was lower on Deebo Samuel last year than some people were as well. Today, I mean, it's also important to remember Ayuk was out, Kittle's out, obviously. So Deebo coming back was a godsend for the 49ers, because he's their best wide receiver right away. He was kind of their only receiving option today. Let's see. Jordan Reed was the second most targeted pass catcher, 6 targets. Kendrick Bourne had 5. So I expected Deebo to see a lot of looks today. He's productive. He's a good player. He's a bulldog, but I don't know. I'm interested to see. I feel like we haven't really seen this year what that offense is going to look like with a Garoppolo, with Deebo, with Ayuk, with Kittle. And that's, I'll have to see a little bit of that before I can really say where's Deebo fit in that offense. Cause I don't think he's an alpha. I mean, Kittle's going to be the number one pass catcher. Do you think he's going to see more targets than Ayuk, or do you think Ayuk will kind of overtake him for the number two passing option?
No. Deebo Samuel's the number one when he's in the game. I mean, Ayuk is a poor man's version of Deebo Samuel, in my opinion. Deebo Samuel's Deebo. Like, he's literally, like, he is stacked. This guy cannot be brought down. Brandon Ayuk's, you know, a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker with his feet to an extent. But Deebo Samuel's the guy. And Kyle Shanahan loves him some Deebo Samuel. Every time that Deebo Samuel's been out there, like, Kyle Shanahan has given him an opportunity week in and week out, design plays for him. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it, his snap percentage, right? And if he saw at least a 60% of the snaps, right, he saw a minimum of 5 targets. You know, meanwhile, he's getting these higher production or higher target premiums and better looks for opportunities to score. So this is something as to where Deebo just needs to stay healthy. He needs to be on the field. And when he's healthy, he is on the field for the most part. Now, let's go ahead and talk about probably the number one rookie wide receiver on the season, because we had 2 rookies this week finish in the top 10 in terms of fantasy points. Can you name them? I'll give you a chance. Can you name the 2 rookie wide receivers who finished in the top 10?
Justin Jefferson, and then I've got to think. I'm thinking it's maybe someone from Thursday. Who's the second game Thursday? Dallas at Washington. No. I give up.
No, it's the number one rookie wide receiver for Dynasty. That's Colin Johnson over there for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dude, I wrote his name down when I was looking at some notes from the game. So for the Jacksonville game, I wrote Colin Johnson ! Man, I should have thought of him.
No, he was the 9th overall scoring wide receiver on the week. He's a rookie out there, and he's somebody that I hyped up on Dynasty Happy Hour in the offseason, somebody that I absolutely loved, and somebody that has a role in this offense going forward, because guess what? Chris Conley's not going to be there. Keelan Cole is eventually going to, you know, fade out. It's going to be DJ Chark. It's going to be Laviska Shenault. And it's going to be Colin Johnson on the outside, you know, getting those target premiums where you could see him in the red zone. You're going to see him on first downs a lot of times.
I mean, he's 6'6", this guy's right?
Yes. He's like 6'10". He's got the wingspan of a pterodactyl. I actually put them up like on a map together or on like the picture thing. And yeah, literally his arms are probably like 2 inches wider than a pterodactyl's wingspan. So regardless of the case with Colin Johnson, he's going to have a role in this offense. And like we talked about, Jacksonville could be bringing in a new quarterback, you know, a guy like Justin Fields, who, I mean, he's got to be somewhat better, you know, than all the options that they've had over there for Jacksonville so far this year. So is Colin Johnson, is he an option going forward for, you know, startups? Is he somebody that you're actually going to be targeting for 2021? You know, is he somebody that you want to throw your you know, chips in the ring for?
Yeah, I was stashing him on some of my dynasty rosters because I remember when I was evaluating the incoming rookies, I really liked what I saw out of him. Then the draft capital was a little bit of a bummer. He's obviously been like outshined from the rookie class this year. His playing time even has kind of been dwarfed by some of these other guys like the Justin Jeffersons, T. Higgins of the world. Now, today is not today's probably not the time to go buy him after he puts his name on the map.
Hey, he already did it 1 week. Okay. He did it back in like week four. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I know because I call him out probably 80% of the week so far. I said, this could be the week. And then,
well, they were without, I thought it was Andy Isabella week. Anyways,
that was 1 week too.
No, I mean, they were without DJ Chark today. And I'm interested to see once he comes back, if you can get a couple quiet games out of Colin Johnson, that's when I'm wanting to go get him. Hopefully you don't have a trade deadline in your dynasty league or it's later in the season.
Trade deadlines are so stupid in your dynasty leagues. I can't stand them.
Let's not get started on that. I think you should have deadlines during the fantasy playoffs. Why would you want the number one seed to be able to go fleece somebody that's not even in the playoffs to I don't know. I just think it seems dangerous.
Maybe it's the other way around. You make them overpay, man.
Maybe.
Anyways, I don't care about dangerous. Man.
Anyways, Colin Johnson is a great throw in, I think, for dynasty trades because he's not that sexy name. If you're the type of guy that does the sales tactics in your trade negotiations, I'm sure you could look back at his, you know, market share of targets. You could look at his snap share, and it's probably not extremely impressive. But he's a guy that I would love to get thrown in because, like you said, he's got a role on this team. What's interesting with Shenault, him, and Chark is it seems like they all have pretty different skill sets as far as like what they will be used for. And I think that bodes well for Colin Johnson. He's not directly competing with Laviska Shenault. They have different roles, very different. You've got James Robinson at running back. We get Justin Fields in there. And I just think it could be a really interesting offense for 2021 and going forward.
Yeah, it's something as to where I'm buying, you know, I'm buying this offense as a whole.
Poor man's Mike Evans, maybe.
Oh, he's gonna be better than Mike Evans. Get out of here. Who, by the way, is actually in danger of his seventh consecutive season with over 1,000 yards, I believe. So he's actually not on pace to break 1,000 yards for the first time in six seasons, or I guess this would be his seventh. So I want to talk about somebody I'm a little bit concerned about who is completely been hit or miss so far this year, but I'm more concerned now about this potential injury on a non-contact play with DJ Moore. Hmm. Did you see this play?
I saw the play. I saw somebody's, a few people were speculating Achilles. I was trying to watch that replay to see if you saw like the ripple up the sock or whatever, which I did. Yeah, that's sends a ripple down my spine. But I didn't see that, which I guess was promising that it maybe gives hope that it's a little less severe. But man, that would really, really suck for him because that Achilles injury is one of the, whether it's basketball players and Klay Thompson or, you know, Kevin Durant or whatever, or football players, it's like, that's a really difficult injury to come back from and regain all of your explosiveness. Guys come back from ACL injuries all the time. And you know, many of them are fine. They make a full recovery. The Achilles can really sap explosiveness, which, you know, I think on DJ Moore's side is he's like 22, 23, whatever. He's young, 24. I don't know. He's young. So this isn't not a career ender type of thing. Like if he was 32, But I don't know. I'll wait to see what it is, because I would hate to assume the worst there. But man, I don't know. I'm really hopeful it's not bad, because I have him as like a top 15 dynasty wide receiver.
All right. So I have just two more topics I want to hit on the wide receiver, and then we'll bounce over the running back. The first one is, let's see. It was rookie Henry Ruggs, who should have actually had a touchdown. He stepped out of bounds right before launching himself forward. That game was absolutely just infuriating when it comes to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Atlanta Falcons. The play calling was horrendous. The execution was horrendous. The penalties were horrendous. It was overall a terrible game. Meanwhile, Henry Ruggs should have actually had a touchdown in this, which would have vaulted him up to most 15 fantasy points. That did not happen, you know? So Henry Ruggs, it's been a very frustrating season for people that drafted him early, but he's been so close. Like, he had a touchdown called back. You know, he started out the year extremely solid. Like, it's been a very frustrating season. So Henry Ruggs, are you somebody that's still holding on to Ruggs? If you drafted him, what are you doing with Henry Ruggs?
I have Henry Ruggs nowhere. Because I wasn't a believer in him coming out. So it's hard for me to give unbiased advice here, especially since we haven't really seen him, you know, flash a breakout game or anything. So I'm probably not the guy to ask for that. I was a big Bryan Edwards guy, and I'm still waiting, still waiting on that one. But yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about a speed guy, whether he's going to return value for you, wherever you took him in your rookie draft. At this point, it doesn't look like he's going to be one of the top rookie wide receivers that we have, but it's not to say he can't be productive from a fantasy perspective in his career. I haven't watched enough Raiders games to comment on the close but not quite that you've noted so far, but do you like what you've seen out of him? I guess his usage is what the main issue is, or his targets, right?
Well, where he's been utilized. So with Bryan Edwards being out, he's actually been forced to the outside because Nelson Agholor is being forced to the, you know, quote unquote X position. So now Henry Ruggs being forced to the Z position when Henry Ruggs should be in the Y. And the Y position is being taken up by, of course, Hunter Renfro, which is infuriating because Hunter Renfro has been getting the targets, but he's not very good. So it's actually very infuriating because that should be Ruggs. Ruggs will be doing a lot more with these targets. I was hoping I was hoping that Bryan Edwards would actually see an increase in snaps this week, and I just didn't feel like it happened. I don't know what the hell is going on over there in Las Vegas. So it was a very frustrating game for me to be a part of. Now, I got three young guys here, and I want you to actually guess who scored the most points, who scored the second most, and who scored the third most.
All right.
We've got games. Andy Isabella, we've got Laviska Shenault, and we got CeeDee Lamb. Rank them in terms of their points scored on week 12.
I'm going to say, I know Shenault had like 30 receiving yards, no touchdowns, so he's pretty low. I feel like it might, I didn't watch the Dallas game either. Okay, I'm going to go Shenault, Lamb, Isabella.
Nope. It was the exact opposite, which means that Andy Isabella is the best young receiver out there. Wow. All right, on a tight end, wow. Let's go ahead and go.
I should have known.
Come on, it's an Andy Isabella question. You already know that I'm going to take advantage, even if it's only 7.3 points scored. All right, so... No, it was absolutely, it was a bad game for all three guys. It's something as to where, you know, their quarterbacks and their situations are not ideal for where, you know, a lot of people drafted these guys. So for all three of these guys, it's something where you want to hold and hope for next year as a optimal output position. I wouldn't try and move any of these guys. I wouldn't dump any of them. I wouldn't try and, you know, move on from them in dynasty leagues. Now, let us get over to the tight end position, which was completely abysmal yet again. Now, I do want to call out a top 10 tight end on the week just because of the fact that, you know what? He's a top 10 tight end, and he shouldn't have been dropped in leagues, and people were dropping him all over the place. And Mike over there, at FF Daddy's Home, you know, he's sitting there saying, like, there's no way he's going to score in the top 10 this week. And guess what? Logan Thomas is a top 10 tight end this week, Mike. So you can do what you do. All right. But
I thought this was a Drew Sample tweet.
Oh God, man. Drew Sample's crushed my soul. But no, Rob Gronkowski was actually the highest scoring tight end on the slate with 16.6 fantasy points, which was, you know, like, that's not good. Travis Kelce was after that. That's and Evan Ingram, who I absolutely adore if he had better hands. You know, you actually mentioned earlier, you commented on something and I saw it. It's like, hey, when Evan Ingram isn't, you know, dropping the ball, he's fumbling it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's absolutely.
And then hobbling off the field. And I'm like, dude, like, just get it together for a 3-game stretch and you'll be good, man.
Like, he could be a monster in this game, but no, Evan Ingram's time is running out for him to actually be a, you know, valid option if he can't start catching the ball and holding on to it as a whole. But Rob Gronkowski being the tight end one on the year, how do you feel about that?
Well, I buried him after his first, I don't know, was it month or whatever, when he was doing nothing. And I was like, yeah, of course he's not doing anything. He's not good. Turns out, I guess he just needed to get his feet back under him. I will say in that offense, I would have expected the pecking order to be Godwin, AB, Evans, and then probably Gronkowski, just because Gronkowski is a good blocker. I thought they would use him more there, especially when you've got three prominent pass catchers. I know AB's only been there for a couple weeks, but surprised. I will say I'm very surprised. I have him nowhere because I thought he was toast. I didn't want him coming into the year. And especially after that first month, didn't want him. I don't know. Do you think he's been consistent enough to count on? It's weird to say you'd rather start Rob Gronkowski than Johnny Smith this year, but I'm pretty sure rest of the season you're plugging in Gronk very comfortably over Johnny Smith, especially over Herb Smith, over any of these young guys that we thought would be really good.
Yeah, you can't actually play him this next week because it's, you know, bye this week for week 13.
He still might score as many points as those other guys.
He still might. He would have equaled out to Johnny. But he has Minnesota and Atlanta, who are both terrible up against the tight end. And then Detroit, who's actually surprisingly been really good. So you at least have two more weeks where you can play him, and he's a valued play. So I like that. But another guy that really stood out to me on the slate was Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph, like, very interesting over there. I mean, obviously, with Irv Smith out, they're going to pass the ball. With, you know, also Adam Thielen being out, they're going to pass him the ball. But, I mean, I thought this guy was completely dead to the world. Meanwhile, he puts up, you know, tight end five numbers. So, if, let's just hypothetically say that, you know, we have Adam Thielen who comes back from COVID and he's not 100%, like, is Kyle Rudolph somebody that you could feel comfortable playing? Or are you just like, nah, I can't?
I mean, If Thielen missed any more time, sure. As soon as Thielen's back, though, I think it's so obvious that he's the number one option. Jefferson's right behind him at number two. And then with Kirk Cousins, I just don't trust a third pass catcher behind those two. His target totals the last few weeks have been 1, 4, 5, 3, and then 8 today. So it definitely bumped up today. Hasn't scored a touchdown during that span, but I don't know. I'm looking at the targets just saying I wouldn't feel comfortable throwing them in there. We've just talked about how bad the landscape is at tight end, though. It's like, if you told me I had to start Kyle Rudolph next week, I'd okay. I guess. Wouldn't feel great about it, but hopefully it gets me 6 or 7 points.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely terrible. It was something as to where, like, hey, Kyle Rudolph stole some souls tonight, and he probably won somebody some matches. So we're going to end this episode, right, with the last thing that is probably the most important thing to talk about outside of kickers, and that's defenses. Now, who do you think? Are you looking at a screen? Do you already have it up?
No, I don't know what you're going to ask, so I don't know if I have it up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we have great shushy guys. So who do you think were the top three scoring defenses on the week so far this season?
So far this week?
Oh, I'm sorry. So far this week. You can't look it up.
No, I'm just looking at the scores of the game, so I can refer. Okay, I won't look. I'll say
No, you can look at them because I won't.
I'll say Atlanta.
Yes, you got. Wow, you got say, number one.
Who played Denver? The New Orleans.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
New Orleans was actually. Let's see. They were like ninth or eighth.
Oh, Washington.
They were sixth.
Ah, dang.
You got two strikes.
Okay. This is going to be rough. I'll say the Rams.
Nope. They were fifth, but that was a good guess.
So the other Panthers.
Two, you would never guess. Number two was the Carolina Panthers. And number three was the Houston Texans.
What did Carolina do to get so many points?
I don't know. Didn't you watch the games?
I didn't watch that one, no.
No, it's obviously, you know, turnover-based over there. So this is something else where we
Carolina?
Yeah, Carolina.
They gave up 28 points. No interceptions. I know. Two sacks. What'd they do?
I can't see their stats right now. It's not showing me.
Dude. Okay.
Hold on, wait. Hold on. This is great radio, but we got to find this out.
I feel like you're looking at the wrong week or something.
No, I'm looking at the right week. All right, so they had two sacks.
Okay.
They had two forced fumbles. They had two fumble recoveries.
Okay. All right.
And they had two touchdowns.
They had two touchdowns, Jeremy. Okay.
I was waiting for it. Like I was kind of building up to that. But yeah, two touchdowns. That.
Okay. My bad.
That's it was me. Jeremy Chin.
I shouldn't have doubted you.
So this is what happened, right?
He won IDP leagues this week, right? I mean, how often do you get a defensive player with two touchdowns?
Not only that, his two touchdowns came on back-to-back plays, mm-hmm. which I believe is the first time that's ever happened in NFL history, and it happened to a rookie. Back-to-back plays, touchdowns.
Congratulations, Jeremy.
Yeah, we're going to send you a trophy. It's mm-hmm. going to be from DHH. Tyler's actually going to buy Jeremy Chin a trophy, right? But guess what?
We'll use the promo code.
He's going to use the promo code DHH Ring. So when he buys Jeremy Chin a trophy from Trophy Smack, Jeremy Chin will also receive a Dynasty or a Trophy Smack ring, right? For free. He's going to get it for free. So all Tyler has to do is actually mm-hmm. purchase a trophy yep. for Jeremy Chin. And then Jeremy Chin can take that ring and he can send it off. And he's going to send it to? He's going to send it to Kirk Cousins.
Don't forget also you can reach out to Tyler directly at @DHH_Tyler. He's got a lot going on, so he might forget. Just send him a couple of reminders this week. Don't forget to send the trophy to Jeremy. And just make sure he follows through with that.
Yeah, if everybody could send him a message just to remind him, that'd be great. Cause like dude, his family, like everything that's mm-hmm. going on, you know, with his outside life, right? He's just very, very busy individual, so he's gonna forget. If everybody could just message him on Twitter. What's his underscore or what's his Twitter
@ handle? @DHH_Tyler.
@DHH_Tyler. Go remind him to get a trophy from trophysmack.com to enter in the promo code DHHRING and send it to Jeremy Chin. And then Jeremy Chin can send the ring to whoever he wants, mm-hmm. namely Kirk Cousins, although they lost. So that's going to wrap up the episode for us. One more time, Taylor, where can we find you?
Mostly at Twitter @_TaylorCornell.
And you guys can check me out @FF_intervention. And you guys can check out all of our content over there at Fantasy Intervention at @JoinOurCircle_. Once again, guys, thank you all for tuning in. And thank you guys for listening to Dynasty Happy Hour? Sorry, somebody messed up the teleprompter. We're out of here.